Welcome to the Applied Policy Podcast, featuring highlights from a recently convened Northern Virginia Health Policy Forum.
Good afternoon, and welcome to this month's Northern Virginia Health Policy Forum. I'm Jim Scott, President and CEO of Applied Policy, a health policy reimbursement and consulting firm in Alexandria, Virginia. Today, the forum welcomes three reporters who have been delivering in-depth coverage of the Trump administration's rollout of its healthcare policies and their potential influence on federal agencies and on Capitol Hill. Joining us to help identify the most important bellwether events from the past few weeks are Maya Goldman, healthcare reporter for Axios, John Wilkerson, Washington correspondent covering the politics of healthcare for STAT, and Phil Galowitz, senior correspondent for KFF Health News, reporting on the intersection of health policy, health economics, public health, and consumer health. So, Phil, can you give us a top-line look at the issues you're most closely tracking?
Sure. A lot of it is Medicaid. We've seen huge growth in Medicaid during the pandemic. Then we had an unwinding where people needed to renew their eligibility. So we've had some drop off of about 10, 12 million people off Medicaid. And now there's a concern. The Republicans have said when they took power, they were going to look to shrink government and shrink Medicaid. And we're waiting to hear exactly how they're going to do it.
Thanks, Phil. Maya, what issues are you following?
I am also, like Phil, very interested in Medicaid and Medicare and health insurance policy in general. It's, you know, a lot of the money in the healthcare system is flowing through the payers. And so there's a lot, they have a lot of influence over how healthcare in the country looks. So I spend a lot of time there.
Thanks, Maya. And John, what's top of mind for you?
I echo everything everybody just said. Obviously, Medicaid is huge. The one thing that didn't get mentioned explicitly is the enhanced ACA premium subsidies. I think that will also be something to watch, though that one's a little bit different. The subsidies are expiring. Most of the audience probably realizes this, but so the dynamic is a little bit different. In order to do anything on that, Republicans just need to not do anything as opposed to do something. So they could cut those premium subsidies just by letting them expire.
Phil, anything to add there?
I think the administration is going to try to change healthcare. Their effort is to do it outside of insurance to a degree. Part of their philosophy is a lot of things go into affecting people's health beyond if they're just insured. Yes, there's been a lot of data and studies show when you have insurance, it increases your access to care and increases your access to preventative care. And that's a good thing. Behaviors every day are big things. So I see the administration in some ways trying to make some inroads there. And that's a tough road to hoe because changing behavior is much easier said than done. There was a lot of attention toward vaccines during the RFK confirmation hearing, and there were assurances that were given that RFK would not change vaccine policy. But I think we can look to RFK to probably put together a panel to look at vaccines, and he will do that. And what comes from that and who sits on that panel will be real interesting to watch. And then it'll be real interesting to watch what efforts, if any, there are to promote vaccines in this country. We heard everything during the RFK about that he'll keep his hands off vaccines. But as we know in this country, we're falling behind when it comes to providing vaccines, particularly to children and adults as well.
Thanks. And John, what's your bet for his first substantive policy priority when he gets to be secretary?
Personnel is policy, so we'll have a better idea, I think, once they start bringing people in, which direction, or you know, like maybe what specific things they want to work on, because we know directionally what they want to do, which is to end chronic disease and to, I guess, get more information on vaccines.
Thanks, John. And so you've written that MAHA is top of mind in Washington, and we've heard you talk a little bit about it so far. Can you tell us a little bit of background on what MAHA is?
We have like some influencers out there who have been a big part of MAHA. Mostly they've been concerned with too much corporate influence over drugs. They feel that, we're making people sick, that everybody in the system, whether it's drug makers or doctors, are, part of the problem, that they're trying to get people they're just trying to make money. That this is them talking here, that they're doing what they can to get people to go to, to medicate people, because that's an easy solution, instead of trying to avoid having to medicate people in the first place, and, having more doctor office visits.
Thanks, John. Phil, there's been indications that initiatives of the MAHA movement have been implemented for decades and now are being recycled in new packaging. What do you think that means for the potential success of MAHA moving forward, particularly MAHA elements that could be covered by Medicare?
There's been a push for a number of years that says that people who get coverage need help beyond just coverage for going to the doctor, going to the hospital, going for drugs, but going into things that can affect their health that aren't pure health. But there's also been a push within the Trump administration to say a lot of that's a waste, and a lot of that is hasn't really proven anything, and a lot of that, both in Medicare and to a degree in Medicaid, has let these programs grow dollar-wise without any real proof that they've worked. So there may be sort of cross purposes there, where one part's saying, hey, let's grow Medicare to pay for some things that can affect people's health that aren't clinical health, and then other people who sort of say, no, we have to control the budget. Chronic disease is not a new issue. It's great that people are addressing it. And one of the reasons why chronic disease is an issue is because we've dealt pretty good in this country with infectious disease and things that would rob people and of life expectancy. We've done a pretty good job addressing those issues over the last number of decades. So people are living longer, with the exception of that we had during COVID, life expectancy fell. But people do live longer. The longer you live, you're going to develop some diseases. And for the most part, people are living longer with diabetes and asthma. Cancer, in some cases, is turning into a chronic where people pay attention and have it for years and years. Again, same thing with heart disease. These are chronic diseases that affect a large part of the population, not new issues. And to say that there hasn't been any attention to them the last many decades, I'm not sure that's really true.
Anything to add, Maya?
The really interesting thing for me with the MAHA movement to watch is how the Republican Party's more like traditional conservative budget hawk wing and the more populist wing interact here, and just like whether that does bring up tensions, whether there are places that they can align, whether this ends up being something that mostly happens outside of the federal government. I think that the MAHA movement is not new, like that there is something that has been here a long time, but it's also political packaging that really taps into people's fears about healthcare and the health system and children's health.
Yeah, and if I may just jump in at a turn here real quick, something that I forgot. I just want to make one point, and it's again a thematic point, and that is in the past, when they've tried to tackle a lot of the things that we just talked about, such as making sure that people have transportation to get to their doctor, making sure that people have, safety measures in their house, such as the bars and so that they don't fall while they're in the bathroom, in the kitchen, or whatever, that kind of thing. I think they've tried to achieve these goals of keeping people out of the hospital and keeping them healthier via insurance. And now it seems like the goal is to avoid the insurance part. And that seems to be thematically what is new about the new approach. Whatever that new approach ends up being is not clear, but it does seem like they're trying to make it so that people only have insurance for like catastrophic stuff, and that otherwise you use your insurance, you pay you on your own for more of the day-to-day stuff, and that you avoid the need of having insurance for catastrophic problems by staying healthy. I just don't know how they're going to keep people healthy.
Phil, since you're the Medicaid expert on the panel, under President Biden, enrollment in Medicaid hit a record high and the uninsured rate hit a record low. Trump's return to the White House, along with the GOP-controlled Senate and House of Representatives, is expected to change that. How soon can we expect those changes, and what do you see coming?
I think Republicans see insurance and the role of insurance differently than Democrats. I think Democrats see the more people insured, they see this getting people healthy, getting them the treatment they need is a positive thing. That the fact that these programs have grown to cover, at some point, almost one in four Americans, they serve as positive things. Republicans see the fact that these programs have grown as a negative thing, that people are too government dependent. And they've also, a number of Republicans don't really believe that having insurance really improves people's health. So there's debate even on that core concept.
Thank you, Maya, Bill, and John, for sharing your insider's knowledge with us and giving us a preview of what might be next in healthcare policy. Thank you for being here, and enjoy the rest of your day.
This has been a Northern Virginia Health Policy Forum presentation, sponsored by Applied Policy in Alexandria, Virginia. For more from this discussion, please go to novahealthpolicy.com. Thank you for listening.